Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 123, the stanzas 1 and 2. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hand spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within and what follows. Psalter 123, the stanzas 1 and 2. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 37, the verses 1 through 11. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 36. Genesis 37, the first 11 verses. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved them more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, and shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying, the Confession of Faith, Article number 36 of the Magistrates. We believe that our gracious God, because of the depravity of mankind, hath appointed kings, princes, and magistrates, willing that the world should be governed by certain laws and policies, to the end that the dissoluteness of men might be restrained, and all things carried on among them with good order and decency. For this purpose he hath invested the magistracy with a sword, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. And their office is not only to have regard unto and watch for the welfare of the civil state, but also that they protect the sacred ministry, and thus may remove and prevent all idolatry and false worship, that the kingdom of Antichrist may be thus destroyed, and the kingdom of Christ promoted. They must therefore countenance the preaching of the word of the gospel everywhere, that God may be honored and worshiped by everyone as he commands in his word. Moreover, it is the bounty duty of everyone, of what state, quality, or condition soever he may be, to subject themselves to the magistrates, to pay tribute, to show due honor and respect to them, and to obey them in all things which are not repugnant to the word of God, to supplicate for them in their prayers, that God may rule and guide them in all their ways, and that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Wherefore we detest the error of the Anabaptists and other seditious people, and in general all those who reject the higher powers and magistrates and would subvert justice, introduce a community of goods, and confound that decency and good order which God hath established among men. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Andrew and Denise Mounts, who were blessed with the birth of a daughter in the day of yesterday. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is in thy providence and in thy condescending mercy that the doors of thy house have been opened for a weekday service, and so far that it was possible, so far that there was desire, had the possibility to enter through those doors and impress it upon all our hearts that we cannot leave these doors when thou granteth it the same as we have entered in. And may there have been many, thou knowest, how we have awoke this morning, how we have spent today, and how we have come up to thy house. Lord, we humbly ask thee, dwell richly amongst us, work by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Wilt thou convert sinners, young and old, in this evening hour? Spare that we build not upon sandy foundations. And, Lord, remember thy true people. Thou knowest their condition, their state. Learn more and more that it must all come from above. We read of the psalmist that he was brought low, that he was even brought very low. And, Lord, thou knowest how low that it can come. Concerning their hope, at times that they are given to examine whether it was a true hope or only presumption. Concerning their faith, perhaps a time that they have said with that father, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But that it can come so low that they have no freedom even to utter those first words. Ah, Lord, that all that is left, that is the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The church must learn. He must increase, and I must decrease. Lord, may there have come up souls in this evening with a true soul's need, with a cry and with a sigh, and ah, thou wast promised that for the hungry and for the thirsty ones, there shall be food in thy house. Grant those further leadings and the precious meritorial work of thy dear Son. Bless the means of grace, the family circles, the church, also in our Christian school, in this difficult and distressing time. Thy judgments, they are low upon the earth, and who takes it to heart? And who becomes the guilty one? We have been a nation which thou wast blessed so richly, blessed with many blessings from one shore to the other shore. But, O Lord, we have become proud. We have become self-sufficient. We have become independent. Thou and thy word has been banned from so many institutions. The enmity against thee, thy dear Son, thy word and thy institutions, that is greatly on the increase. Under all thy judgments, also under the judgment of thy sending the virus, then our country has only further departed from thee, formulating and passing laws that are so contrary against thy holy word. The unborn continue to be murdered, the mother's womb. The seventh commandment, no longer respected and honored. The Lord's day desecrated. Then we must say, with the prophet of old, woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown has fallen from our head. Lord, we live in troublesome and difficult times. That is very evident. Then we commend our governments unto thee. Our Lord, open their eyes that they may be given to see and acknowledge guilt and sin, and a cause for repentance. May there yet be a bowing under the authority of thy holy word, and a bending of the knees. And wilt thou remember all the inhabitants, and press it upon all our hearts, under these troublesome, difficult, dividing times, that there may be a more work in the inner chamber, and a crying mightily unto thee. Thou art still waiting for thy church. Thou art waiting to be gracious, waiting for thy church to repent. Lord, in these difficult times, these trying times, wilt thou remember us and our dear children? Wilt thou grant a special place at thy footstool? May we have eyes to see thy heavy hand upon us. It is written that the time has come that the judgments must begin at the house of God, O Lord. Wilt thou grant more a repenting, a turning unto thee, that we may mightily be given to cry, while it may yet, and while it can yet, because if there is no repentance, then thou must and thou shall go through with thy judgments. Under these troublesome times, then we and our children, with all the difficulties, we may still live in that 1/2 hour of silence before the angels shall begin to blow their trumpets. And who shall live when thou doest those things, O Lord? When we turn each in unto ourselves, then we have so many sins to confess that we take thy mercies. We have done it for so many years. All our privileges, our freedoms, thy blessings, that we have taken it so for granted. It was different. Then it was the work of thy Holy Spirit, so busy establishing her own kingdom, and so little concern about thy kingdom. Oh Lord, when there was a true concern, that was also the work of thy Spirit, busy with our own honor, and not so busy with thy honor. Then our sins are great and manifold, Lord, above all, and these solemn times, wilt thou use it, that many may be added as jewels to the meritorial crown of King Jesus, that thou may work mightily, lovingly, by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Thou was granted in the day of yesterday that a family circle, a father and mother with their children, were blessed with an addition to their family, a little daughter and a little sister. Thou was spared life, and thou was given life. Ah, grant humble and broken hearts, and that in these dark and serious times, the Lord is still reigning. There are still those lying under the seal of election. Ah, Lord, may she be one of them. Then it shall be well. Wilt thou strengthen the mother? Wilt thou remember all the unborn? We commend unto thee all the mourning ones in our midst, all our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, the residents, those that lovingly care for them. And remember all the sick and all the afflicted, the crosses, the burdens. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? And Lord, thou knowest all the difficulties concerning the different mandates, especially for our youth. May they be carried, and not only the youth, older ones, carried upon the wings of prayer with an eye upon thee and given to trust in thee for all our ways. Lord, remember thy church all over the earth. Wilt thou be in our midst in this evening hour? Open thy precious word. Grant the leading of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou give Aaron's and hers? May thy word go forth with power divine, O Lord. May our eyes be upon thee. Ah, remember us and our dear children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. It is declared in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations, and that may still continue and shall continue till the last one is converted. May we be found more to be a praying and a begging people. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 438, the stanzas 2 and 3. The fear of God is clean, a fountain of serene and everlasting bliss. The judgments of the Lord, which purest light afford, are truth and righteousness. And what follows, Psalter 438, the stanzas 2 and 3. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, Genesis 37, the verses 3 through 11, and we shall read the verses 3, 4, and 5. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved them more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Our text words speak of Joseph and his brethren in his father's house. Four thoughts in the first place, the Lord's institution concerning brethren. Secondly, Joseph favored more above his brethren. Thirdly, Joseph hated by his brethren. And fourthly, Joseph relating his dreams to his brethren. Joseph and his brethren in his father's house. The Lord's institution concerning brethren. Joseph favored above his brethren. Refers to the last point of the last time with the coat of Joseph. Joseph hated by his brethren. And fourthly, Joseph relating his dreams to his brethren. Thus first, the Lord's institution concerning brethren. And then our first point that refers to the family circle, but that also refers to our country. The Lord has given fathers, natural fathers, spiritual fathers, church fathers, country fathers. In this chapter, in the first 12 verses, then we read 9 times those words, his brethren. In the whole chapter, 17 times his brethren, 3 times thy brethren, and 1 time my brethren. The Lord in his wisdom and goodness for the ordering of the children of men, then he has given fathers. And now it is so necessary that in a family circle, in a country, that God's word may have authority. They tell us that in Ottawa, that in our government buildings, there are 25 Bible texts or references that refer to God's holy word. In Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. When our forefathers, it is true, the United States of America, has a richer history than Canada. And nevertheless, in former ages, then what a large place that God's word still had in our country. But alas, in the 1960s, 1962 and 1963, in the USA, the Supreme Court has ruled that it was unconstitutional concerning the institutions of learning to have prayer and the scriptures. Undoubtedly, it was approximately the same time, perhaps, that that has taken place in Canada. And since that time, there has been a very rapid decline. And that has only become more rapid the last decade. Then the judgments of the Lord are heavy upon us. Also concerning our heritage, when we think of our national anthem has been composed by a certain Robert Stanley Weir in 1908 and has been adopted for our national anthem in June 26, 27 in 1980, thus 42 years ago. And also concerning our anthem, that declares precious things, that speaks of God, because our national anthem is, O Canada, our home and native land. A true patriot love and all thy sons command. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north strong and free, from far and wide, O Canada. We stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free, O Canada. We stand on guard for thee, O Canada. We stand on guard for thee. Our national anthem, that is much instruction. Because when we read in this chapter so many times of brethren, then we also have opportunity in this evening to speak concerning our government and all the inhabitants of the land. Then in the first place, then we read of love for our country. We speak of patriot love. We can examine ourselves when we display the Canadian flag. Is it love for our country, or is it love for self? Then in the third place, then our national anthem speaks of those precious freedoms, a North Country strong and free. As so many soldiers have given their life on the battlefield for the liberties that we may still enjoy, but are rapidly being squandered away. Then it speaks, we read three times, we stand on guard for thee. Then as inhabitants of the country and as a church, we have a responsibility that we may guard those freedoms which the Lord for so many years has bestowed upon us. Then in our national anthem, then there is a prayer, God, keep our land, the necessity for unceasing prayer. We live in a time the Lord has sent the virus upon the earth. The Lord speaking in special ways. And Satan, he uses those judgments, of course, all under the permission of the Lord, to cause much confusion and much division. Concerning brethren, then it is pleased the Lord to grant fathers. We read in Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is not power but of God, but powers that are ordained of God. Thus our government, they receive authority to rule and guide the inhabitants of such a country according to this holy word of God. And our fathers, they have thought it prudent concerning the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which was adopted on April 17, 1982, to grant our government a mandate under which they may reign over the country where they are placed, and that guarantees freedom of speech, religion, assembly, and other basic rights, the right of every Canadian to move from the west to the east. And now we live in a time, very fearful times, where the Lord has given everything over more to the foolishness of the heart. It was quite a few years ago when on Thanksgiving Day I was in La Broquerie. And there was a family present that has immigrated from a former communist country. And that father came to me and he related to me that he still remembered when he was a little boy that the secret police have come into the church, arrested and taken their minister, and we were sent home. That is coming very close when we think under the solemn judgments of the Lord and how the government, with all those concerns and difficulties, and of course, we must understand that the government under the circumstances, a difficult and impossible place to be, they shall never do it right, but under aspiring depth, great concern concerning the economy, and many other concerns in a time when the churches are forbidden to gather with all of its members. Then before the last election and now after the election, then the government was passed, Bill C-4, vaguely worded, but the writing is on the wall that our government has so little respect or no respect for God's holy word. The Lord, after our deep fall, has left two roses out of paradise. And those two roses are the Lord's Day and marriage. And now the devil, with all the powers of hell, is trying to destroy those roses. Then it is clear what the government is passing. And remember, the government shall not stop with Bill C-4. Thus, we are not so far from what that father has stated. Persecution of the church, the bitter enmity against God's holy word. Thus, for the church, for the Christian school, the writing is on the wall. As Satan has but a short time. And that is also a special calling for us as a congregation, for us as a people. In the first place, that there may yet be prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And in 1 Timothy 2, the first two verses, prayer for all men, for kings, and for those in authority. In the second place, with our family circles together many a time around this word, I have heard of a Muslim that was converted, that became a preacher of the gospel, has escaped, fled his country, has come to North America, and he has told the churches, do you know what I have found in North America? That there are many American Christians, but not so many biblical Christians. Thirdly, in these solemn times, then we and our families do well to read and to study the history of the church, the battles that our fathers have fought, the blood that they have shed. In the fourth place, then we and our children do well to read concerning the history of the church, history of the world, those countries where there has been genocide. Read about World War Number 2. Read of Germany, what has led up to the war, because many times history repeats itself. In the sixth place, a deep impression that the Lord reigneth, that he has everything in his hands, that he is still gathering a church. In the seventh place, under all the difficulties, the turmoil, the different thoughts that we and our children do not forget our never dying souls, that we may be given to earnestly beg the Lord that in these solemn times that it may please him to pour out his Holy Spirit in a richer measure. We read in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Nevertheless, we have a responsibility and we have a duty. Then the church may not be silent concerning what saith the Lord. Then as citizens, we have our duty. Then, of course, the question is, and that is not such a simple question to answer. There are some people that seem to have all the right answers, but when we study the history of the church, then we understand that our forefathers have also dealt with these things. And then the question is the manner, the way, and the mode that we express our concerns to those in authority. When we consider the church, then already the early church fathers, then they have considered just and unjust wars. In the time of the Reformation, our fathers have struggled with the same matters. There are two extremes. There are those that call themselves pacifists, and they believe that they may not even join the army and that no wars may be fought. In the 1100s, then there were the Crusades, where they have taken the sword to conquer the other religions. When we consider in the time of the Reformation, then the Netherlands has fought the 80-year war. There are those that have said it was a revolutionary war, and others a war of faith. It was a religious war. Thus, a calling, a duty. Let us always remember that we are called upon to honor and to respect those that are placed over us. Those in authority, they have a solemn calling to rule us. We have heard it out of the Confession of Faith, Article 36, how necessary that there is unceasing prayer. are concerning the duties of fathers and children in different capacities than in our Westminster Catechism, which was approved in the year 1648. That is much instruction concerning those matters, concerning the duties and the sins of superiors, and the duties and sins of those in subjection. We shall read a few of the questions. Then concerning the fifth commandment, then there are many questions from 123 through 133, but we shall only read four of them. Question 127, what is the honor that inferiors owe to their superiors? The honor which inferiors owe to their superiors is all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior, a prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation of their virtues and graces, a willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submissions to their corrections, fidelity to defense and maintenance of their persons and authority, according to their several ranks and the nature of their places, bearing with their infirmities and covering them in love, that so they may be an honor to them and to their government. What are the sins of inferiors against their superiors? The sins of inferiors against their superiors are all neglect of the duties required toward them, envy and at contempt of, and rebelling against their persons and places, in their lawful counsels, commands, and corrections, cursing, mocking, and all such refractory and scandalous carriage as proves a shame and dishonor to them and their government. And then two questions about those in authority, what is required of superiors toward their inferiors? Answer, it is required of superiors according to that power they receive from God and that relation wherein they stand to love, pray for, and bless their inferiors, to instruct, counsel, and admonish them, countenancing, reproving, and chastising such as do ill, protecting and providing for them all things necessary for soul and body, and by grave, wise, holy, an exemplary carriage to procure glory to God, honor to themselves, and so preserve that authority which God hath put upon them. Question 130, what are the sins of superiors? Answer, the sins of superiors are, beside the neglect of the duties required of them, an inordinate seeking of themselves, their own glory, ease, profit, or pleasure, commanding things unlawful, or not in the power of inferiors to perform, counseling encouraging or favoring them in that which is evil, dissuading, discouraging, or discountenancing them in that which is good, correcting them unduly, careless exposing, or leaving them to wrong, temptation, and danger, provoking them to wrath, or any way dishonoring themselves, or lessening their authority by an unjust, indiscreet, rigorous, or remiss behavior. Then congregation, then there is much instruction for all of us. We have heard from the confession of faith that those placed in authority by God, that they are to strive, that the word of God may be proclaimed and upheld in their country. And to that end, how far our Western countries have departed. May the Lord yet show a little mercy. We live in very difficult times, and then I repeat it. Concerning our fathers, the questions that are in our minds that we are confronted with, our fathers have also been confronted with it. Let us, we must continue, but congregation, we must not pretend that there is not much going on in the times in which we live, where the powers of evil and concerning God's word as such a great departing. And to that end, since in this chapter those brethren are mentioned so many times, then we had an opportunity to speak concerning a few words concerning the fifth commandment, and then concerning the proper way of relating to the government and expressing our grave concerns. Then there are many thoughts, but the necessity that we are much on our knees, that it is done respectfully, but let us remember we have a duty in our national anthem. We stand on guard for thee, and therefore our solemn duty that we be not silent, but that we are given to speak, relate to our government officials, and especially concerning the things concerning the word of God and his service. Let us first sing. Psalter 322, let us only sing 1 and 2. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead, if in its wisdom they confide. And what follows, 322, 1 and 2. our second thought, Joseph favored above his brethren. Thus then we return to the family circle of Father Jacob. A certain William Ross Wallace, who lived from 1819 through 1891, has written in a book, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle is the Hand That Rules the World. Then you hear mothers, including fathers, what a great responsibility. When the Lord still spares this evil world, then there are mothers that are rocking a little child that shall become leaders of the future generations. Last time we have heard that Jacob was 108 years old in this chapter. That means, because it is written in the scriptures, that Isaac and Rebekah, that they were 60 years old when they received their twins. That means when Joseph was 17 years old, that Isaac was 168 years old. Thus Isaac was given to experience the time that his grandson was sold. When those brothers have returned with that coat, then we read in verse 2 that when Joseph was not idle, we have heard, and Joseph brought unto his father an evil report. When we consider those children then at home, there was still respect for father. That can be proven out of Genesis 35. It is true, when the family of Jacob has lived in the land of Shechem, terrible things have taken place. But in Genesis 35, when Father Jacob would return to Bethel, then he has seen, he knew, that his family could not appear before the Lord as everything was. Then Father Jacob has commanded that there must be repentance. We do not read of resistance, but we read that they have brought their strange gods and their earrings to Father Jacob. Thus it is implied that those boys went at home, they still had respect for their parents. That is a great blessing, I hope, boys and girls and young people, that you may be given to honor your father and your mother. But I read in Proverbs 22, verse 15, that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a youth. And it can be, boys and girls, that behave well at home, that they do other things when they are from home. Perhaps even in school, I hope children, that is not your picture. And nevertheless, then when those boys were from home, then they have done wrong things. And to that end, Joseph has brought an evil report. I read in Proverbs 10 verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Thus I hope, children, that you do your best to honor, to please, and to make your parents happy. That old apostle John, when he was very old, and he has written his epistles, then I read in 2 John 4, he was given to write to that elect lady that he has rejoiced greatly when he found those children seemed to be in another city, walking in the truth. We may believe not only outwardly, but also inwardly. And in 3 John 4, then he is written that he had no greater joy when he found the children walking in the truth. And now concerning Joseph favored above his brethren, then we read, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Then we must notice concerning the history of Joseph and Father Jacob. Then in the scripture, sometime we read Jacob and sometime Israel. Sometime the meaning is very clear. We would think that in our text that it would have been written, now Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children, but it is written Israel. That implies two matters, that Israel, that they have many infirmities. For an Israel who has experienced Peniel, received a new name, the forgiveness of his sins, nevertheless, still in infirmities, that those in authority, they also have many weaknesses. In the second place, when we read that Israel, that he loved Joseph more than all his children, then that speaks of spiritual bonds. That in Israel was given to see that Joseph was a boy with a tender fear of the Lord, that there was that spiritual bond. Nevertheless, let us now consider Israel. We must remember that in the first place, that Father Jacob, that he was a mourning man, that in Genesis 35, when he has come to Bethlehem with the birth of Benjamin, that his beloved wife Rachel, that she has died, that he was called to bury her. Thus, in the context, of course, does not make a wrong a right, but for a mourning Jacob plunged in such deep grief, his beloved Rachel, for whom he has labored 14 years, what a large empty place. And now Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. Thus, then we can understand it is possible that in his Joseph, that he has seen a resemblance of his beloved Rachel. Thus, in the context of mourning Jacob, and those that have experienced it know what it is to mourn the loss of a loved one. There have been families when fathers and mothers, oh, how necessary that the Lord may take mourning ones by heart and by hand, that even the living children left thought that they were not loved as much as the dead. Thus, when we read, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, 'tis in the context of bereavement, and further, because he was the son of his old age. We have heard the last time that there was not such a great difference in ages between Reuben and Joseph, perhaps 6 years, but Jacob has waited that his beloved Rachel may bear him a son. It is true, of course, in our chapter, then there was that little Benjamin, but Jacob had his Joseph for so many years, and to that end, the son of his old age. There are some that even think that those words can refer to the son of the ancients, that Joseph had received an extraordinary measure of wisdom. And now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of old age. Then we can all understand that it is the duty of father and mother, and who was able to be a father and a mother with children. Each has their ways and each have their characters. What a wisdom and what a discretion is necessary. Then, of course, fathers, boys and girls, then it is also your calling, because sometime it takes place that sons and daughters, that they make the difference. When there is a disobedient son or daughter whom a father must discipline, then it is possible that such a child thinks that they are not loved as the other children. But then I think that, boys and girls, you can understand that you were then making a difference, because it is the calling according to God's holy word that children are disciplined. I read in Genesis 4, verse 7, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. Those were the words that were spoken to Cain. And if thou doest not well, a sin lieth at the door. Alas, a father Jacob, he has made a special coat for Joseph. In the marginal notes, it also speaks of a coat of pieces. Thus, a coat of many colored pieces that was given to Joseph. A very unwise of Jacob, and very hurtful for Joseph. A father Jacob would have to bear the bitter fruits also of that coat for 22 years. When we read that word coat, that in the original, we do not read that Jacob has given his son a pair of shorts, must not be amongst us. But a coat, and that word refers to a coat that comes down to the ankles. Many times in the scriptures, then important sons and daughters, they were distinguished in 2 Samuel 3 verse 18 concerning Tamar. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. It is also possible Reuben, he was the oldest, and in a certain sense entitled to the birthright, but we read in a former chapter that Reuben had sinned everything away, and perhaps giving that long coat, that was a token, a sign, that birthright would be given to the oldest son of Rachel, that it would be given to Joseph. What that must have been for Leah when she was given to see, oh, with the Judah. We have heard it a few months ago in December from Genesis 29, verse 35, that Leah was given to praise the Lord when a Judah was born. But for Jacob, it was still so hidden. What it must have been for Leah when she was given to see that Joseph was favored above her children. Thirdly, Joseph hated by his brethren. Then we read, and when his brethren saw that their father loved them more than all his brethren, They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. We have seen the last time from verse 2 that Joseph, that he has brought an evil report concerning his brothers to his father. And then at the close, we have asked the question, was that now right and proper of Joseph to tell on his brothers what they were doing when they were shepherds far away from home? Then let us just give a few points. Then in the first place, not when it is for our advantage. In the second place, not with joy. In the third place, not with pride. And in the fourth place, not for the point of getting others in trouble. Can we remember those points? But then in the first place, with sorrow, that it grieves us. In the second place, with prayer. And in the third place, for God's name. Because we read, he brought unto his brother their evil report, implies that those brothers were given an evil report for the inhabitants of the land. In Genesis 34, after Simeon and Levi have murdered those inhabitants, using religion to that end in Shechem, then it is written that the name of that family was given to stink. Thus Joseph, we may believe, was not with joy, was not so easy, but for the welfare of the family, and it concerned God's holy name. We may believe because we have heard concerning his dreams that Joseph had freedom and boldness to tell his brothers those dreams. That Joseph, of course, it is not always possible. There can be circumstances where it is impossible that Matthew 18, the verses 15 through 17, that they are carried out. We shall not broaden it out. How many, if we would visit prisons and we would talk to that people, then how many there would be who would not be in prison if their fellow man, when they were given to see the first step on an evil path, if they would have been warned, and when they have not turned, if it would have been reported, robbers, if it had been told, to make it simple and plain for each and every one of us, when a boy or girl had stolen a roll of candy out of a store. How many would have been kept from a downward spiral if it had been reported? Drugs, alcohol, pornography, of course, many times hidden. Thus, we all have a calling. Then we read that they could not speak peaceably unto him. Thus, different reasons, the evil report, the long coat, but also the piety and the tender fear of the Lord, because it is clear that Joseph, that he is greatly feared at the Lord. What a blessing. We have mentioned it, that in this chapter, that word brethren is mentioned 21 times. What a blessing and what a privilege it is when in our family circles, of course, and no perfection, but when by the common goodness of the Lord, one love may abound between husband and wife, when the children may be given to see and say those words that were spoken of Jesus concerning Lazarus, behold, how they love one another. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when brothers and sisters, and no perfection, there can be those squabbles, Shelby, but when brothers and sisters, when they may dwell with one accord, together with father and mother, how necessary and what a blessing it is when the Holy Scriptures may be the centerpiece of a marriage and of a home and of a family circle. Those are great blessings for the time. May we not all take it for granted. Where we live in a time and the government promoting all the evils concerning the seventh commandment, how the family circles are being broken down and destroyed, and that the government is more and more busy to remove the rights of parents concerning their children, all included in Bill C-4. Our examples in the world where the police have come to homes and ushered their child out of the house, also concerning the matters pertaining to Bill C-4, above all things, because for us and our children, there is one thing needful, and that is our last point. We must leave it lie, but that speaks of a Joseph where the Lord has revealed himself. Do we not read in Psalm 25, verse 14, that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Oh, in that family of Jacob, there was a Joseph that received instruction from heaven, where the Lord has given him two dreams. We have stated what it must have been for Leah with her six children and with her Judah, that she was overlooked, and that she was despised. But young and old, how is it with us? How is it concerning the Lord? When the Lord looks down upon us personally, a family, must the Lord say, Daddy is not so remembered, that there is so much that receives the first place in our life? To that end, in these dark and solemn times, also concerning our country, may it please the Lord that the eyes of our leaders may be opened and to return to the Word of God, that the solemn callings, that they may be used by the Lord to bring us and our children, because I read in Isaiah 30 verse 18, that the Lord is waiting to be gracious. The time has come that the judgments must begin at the house of God. May we be given to cry mightily unto the Lord in these solemn times under the judgments, that he may work mightily, irresistibly, by his Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, that his kingdom may come and his name be glorified. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may thou be the after preacher. May we be found more on our knees. May we be given to cry unto thee. Wilt thou remember our poor country? Remember us and our children. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 86. Let us only sing the third stanza. Oh, truly is the nation blessed, whose God before the world confessed, and what follows. 86, only the third stanza. Thank you. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.